15 to 20 million jobs.
I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We are national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As always, I want to thank you for tuning in, and I'm going to ask that all of you go to your telephone right now, invite a family member or a friend to tune in, and then let them know that we will also be sending out an email and also have today's broadcast posted on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com later this afternoon, so you can listen anytime that you can, and also email that out to your family members and friends. Well, I'm very pleased to tell you that we have another great broadcast up and ready to go today. Our panel members are all on board. They include Mark Andel, who is the well-known founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Connolly, the East Coast Vice President of SCORE, Rich Logis, the new daddy, principal of RJL Technology Integration, and of course, our engineer is here, Henry Chaplinsky, and I'm Michael Blihash, always very happy to be with you, and of course, I want to say thank you to everyone who is tuning in. Henry informed me the other day that we are getting more and more listeners, our bandwidth is increasing and everything else. This really pleases me because this is what it's all about. Well, ladies and gentlemen, last week I was honored to announce that a distinguished member of American Workers Radio, Rich Logis, became a dad on Thursday, August the 4th, and Rich and his wife, Victoria Bojena Logis, named their little daughter Isabella. Wow, what a treasure. But before I go on, all of us in the Blihash family once again take the opportunity, as well as join with our American Workers Radio panel, Mark Andel, Larkin Connolly, engineer Henry Chaplinsky, in wishing the very best. Congratulations to Rich and Victoria Logis, and a very special welcome and stolat, which means may you live 100 years, vieshchelat, may you live 200 years. A special welcome to little Isabella Logis. But we could talk this and that. I think it's time for us to hear from the new dad himself. Dr. Logis, tell us a little bit of everything. Uh-oh.
Sorry, Michael. I've been awake for 2 weeks. Sorry. My wife had to kick me out of bed today with a pot of cold water. Thank you so much, Michael. Thank you, all you guys, our listeners. You know, I got a couple points to make. And the first is, I made a promise to you guys and to everyone, and I'm a man of my word. I promised that if you thought I was nuts before Isabella came, you haven't seen anything yet. So I'm a man of my word, Mark, Lark, and all of our listeners. And we'll get into that. And I have to make a point, Michael, about our listenership. The fact that it's growing, that brings such music to my ears. And I'll tell you why I think it's really growing. What we're doing here is really something special. And I believe that more and more people are starting to understand that we are in Game 7. There is no next game. There is no next season. There is no, we'll get them in 4 years. This is Game 7.
This is Game 7, and Rich,
this is the ninth inning. If you'd prefer, you know, perhaps a baseball now, this is the ninth inning. If you're a football person, you know, this is the last drive of the Super Bowl, down 4. This is it. This is Game 7. And I think, Michael, the fact that it's not a coincidence that the listeners in our audience are growing. And I got to tell you guys also, I think that we made some new fans from the hospital. And I really have to thank, because some of the people said, well, I'm going to listen to the show. For those of you who are listening from Memorial Regional and Joe DiMaggio Hospital, what care. And I have to publicly thank them. All the people who said, we're going to send you to Joe D, that's how I knew they were from New York. We're sending you to Joe D. I said, oh, you must be you must be from New York. And how'd you know? I said, only New Yorkers say Joe D. So I really have to thank, I've got to really thank Michael Memorial and Joe DiMaggio. Guys, I'm really happy to be back on. Thank you so much for all the well wishes, and some of our listeners have as well. Really appreciate it.
Well, I want to tell you something, Rich. We're really proud of you. A lot of people told me to give their best wishes to you. But I want to hear more about how the big event went, and then I'm going to ask Larkin to give you some advice, Mark to give you some advice, Henry to give you some advice, and then we will move forward. We're going to start off with asking you, how did the whole event go on the 4th?
Well, here's the thing I'll say, Michael. By the, you know, when Isabel was born, there's just a moment. That's a moment when your child's born that you, it's just inexplicable. You know, it just is. Larkin is, and Mark, you know, you guys all said to me, "Wow, this is gonna, having a child is gonna change your life." And I would always say, I don't hear the words "for the better" after that. It's gonna change your life. No, for the better. For, and that moment, Michael, it's, you know, it's really, it instantly changes your life, because it's not about you anymore. And if I tie it into all the things, guys, that we talk about, it's not about me, it's not about my wife anymore. It's about the fact that we have a child who's going to, what's the kind of place and country she's going to grow up in? And for the first time, and I do believe that this is true, for the first time in modern history, our kids are not going to be better off if we keep on the current trajectory. They're not going to be. And I know the politicians are, you know, I always goof on this. You know, we always talk about the kids, you know, do right for the children. And you know, we goof, I goof on it. But it's true. It's true this time. The kids, if we continue on this path, they will not be better off. So what is the kind of place that we're going to leave them?
Yep. Now, Larkin, I'm going to ask you to give some greetings and some advice to our great new dad, Daddy Logis.
Well, good morning, Michael. Good morning, Dad. Tell Mom I said hello. Good morning, Mr. Handel, and good morning, Henry, and to all of our listeners. You know, I told you in the conversations that we were having, Rich, that parenthood is life-changing. I told that to a very dear friend of mine who has since had two children. And he said, it's that one event in life where I learned how to listen to Larkin. Because he's 150% right. And especially if you attend the birth, it's just, you know, it is life's phenomenon. I can tell you that my greatest accomplishment in life, bar none, is Larkin Jr., Elizabeth, and John, my three children, of whom I'm very proud. And, you know, they're just, it's just what life is all about for me is those three children and my wife and the family unit. That's why I constantly talk about the biggest problem we have is the collapse of the family unit, because it really is the backbone of our society. I will tell you this. You'll hear a lot of people say that as that baby gets older, she'll sleep through the night and she'll eat three squares and she'll not cry as much and she eventually is going to get out of diapers. I was having that conversation with my father. I had many conversations about raising children with my father. And he said, let me tell you something, and I want you to never forget this. Little children have little problems. Big children have big problems. So prepare yourself for a bumpy but very enjoyable ride through life.
Thank you, Larkin.
Wow, well said, Larkin. Oh, my God. And Mark, you have been an experienced dad also, so let's hear from you.
Yeah, how you doing, Mike? And congratulations, Rich, and Larkin, welcome, and Henry. Yeah, Rich, congratulations. A lot of baby pictures. Thank you. You know, Isabella has more hair than most of my friends. You know, just beautiful. Having twins, you know, kids alone, just like Larkin said, it's the one thing in life I live for. You know, Jackie and me had, we've got four. And, you know, Jessica is the youngest, and our twin boys, Jake and Zach, and then Brian. But, you know, I'll never forget even just having the twins, you know, Jackie carrying two babies and going through, and it was a 24-hour waiting period, and, you know, one come out, and I couldn't believe it. And, you know, count the toes, spell the names right and all that. And me and, you know, Jackie had baby A and baby B. You know, it was just crazy, and in fact, I was so naive with the twins that they didn't even cry the first week. So the friend said, "How you do it with twins? They don't cry." But then all hell broke loose at number 8 day, I think. You know, life was different. But Rich, it's unbelievable. You know, the experience to have children, and everybody says you know, spend a lot of time with them. It goes fast, and boy, does it go fast. You know, I think we'd all agree. But just a beautiful experience. It is life. It's what it's all about. And I think, Rich, you nailed it. It changes you instantly, and it changes you. Now you're thinking about her future and what America we want. And you want the best for her. I always say with the Made in America story, it's about our children's future, and it couldn't be more right. And, Rich, I think you're living that right now, and now you know everything changes. Everything's about the kids. You know, especially for me and Jackie, we spent every hour with our kids, every vacation we took with our kids. So just enjoy the heck out of it. It's what it's all about.
That's right. And Rich, now you have a big job. You have to make sure Isabella gets big. And by that time, Mark will have all his stores all over the USA. Maybe she'll even be a promoter and a merchandiser and a person who will be helping Mark along in promoting the Buy American Made campaign, just like her dad.
And Michael, I sent a little Uzi or onesie for for Rich's baby. And Rich, we're going to make her famous with that, the first 100%
photo
baby.
To come, Mark. Photo of to Rich, come. I remember, you know, Isabella, thank you.
Was that the diaper genie somebody sent me about?
No, it's a
I thought it was onesie. Great. You put all your diapers, you wind it up, you make the sausage that don't smell. You know, it's just a great thing, Rich. I was picking on you with that diaper genie.
Thank you, Mark, and thank everyone at the store. You know, Isabella was born
Thursday
night.
It was one of the best we had.
And, like, a couple hours after she's born, the nurses just bring us up into our own room, like we're, and they're just, you start being. I mean, you talk about being dropped in the middle of the ocean, learning how to swim. That was Thursday night, and by like Saturday morning, our room was like a war zone. You know, no one had eaten, no one had slept, no one had showered, same underwear since Wednesday. I mean, that's what it was like, right? But you're just not thinking about that because you have this little being in person to take care of. And you know, guys, I'm going to tell you something. Both on the show and in conversations, so many conversations I've had with so many of our listeners, you know, people I know in New York, you know, guys like Jim Austin, people who've been on our show before and listen regularly. So many of the things that we've talked about, they really kind of slam you in the face, you know, when you think about it with a child. And from Larkin talking about the breakdown of the family, you know, Michael, to you talking about having your grandbaby, Henry's children, Mark, your business and what you're trying to do and doing it successfully, even though the odds are very much stacked against you, there are big goals that we should have for our kids. You know, it doesn't take a village. See, guys, it does. You know, me and the nurses talked about this. A lot of, like-minded nurses politically. And I joked with them all. I said, it doesn't take a village to raise children. It takes two parents who aren't dipsticks to raise kids.
You know, Richard, you're right. And most people, when I did the congratulations on last Saturday's radio, said to me, "Oh, man, Rich's whole life is going to change now." I said, "Oh, yeah." And he's quite a character. And I showed them one of the pictures that you sent me. And it was the picture of you, Bojena, and the baby. You were sitting in the chair with the baby. It was worth $1 million. And that shows you the future. I remember when my granddaughter was born, it was just 2 months ago. And my daughter went from a happy, always on the go person to the greatest mom. It's a great tribute. So my daughter Marion and her husband Also, Drew is very good with the kid. I mean, it's unbelievable. And that's what we need. That's what Larkin means. It's the breakdown of the family where parents don't have the opportunity to give an example, and then their children follow that example, and their children follow the example in the future. There's not just enough of it. But guys, I just want to say that we also have another person who would like to say a few words to wish Dr. Logis the very best. And it's someone that Rich speaks with all the time, and he's usually watching. Everything has to be perfect on the radio. Henry's a perfectionist. You think I'm bad, he's even worse. Henry Chaplinsky.
If I'm worse than you, then I really have a problem. My advice to Rich would be specifically for you, because I know how you are. You try to plan for everything and try to be, oh, you've been telling me for months, I'm more ready than my wife is, and I'm more ready than, you're probably more ready than anybody is, but I'm going to tell you right now, sooner or later, the phone's going to ring, one hand's going to be in diapers, the doorbell's going to ring, you're going to drop something, and that's all going to hit you at once. You can't prepare. At some point, you can't prepare for what's going to happen. It's just going to happen. You're going to have to deal with it. So my advice to you is to just keep that in mind.
Henry, thank you for that. And I have to also publicly thank Henry and his wife, because Henry was like my, I don't know if there's a sports term for this. He was like my go-to guy before having kids, just to make sure. Because when I said I'm more ready than my wife, all I can say is I lied. I lied. And Henry and his wife have been, and all of you guys have, so thank you for that. I've come to you and said, hey, what about this? And what about, and there were some days I'm thinking like, well, am I really kind of ready for this? And you know, there's just no being ready for it. And thank you guys, you know, especially to Henry for, helping me get somewhat mentally in the frame of mind to get ready for this. And already, it's almost 2 weeks later, she's getting bigger. You know, you're starting to learn her mannerisms. It's one of these things that is just cannot in any way be duplicated or understood until you go through it. And all the things that we've talked about, guys, it just brings it all right back home.
You know, Rich, I got another person here in the studio, Teresa from the museum would like to say a few words to you.
Rich, congratulations to you, to your wife, Bojena, and welcome to your newborn, Isabella. It seems that this is the greatest time in your life. You seem so happy, so content, and I wish all of you the best. I'm not a mom, but I can actually feel your happiness. So I do wish the very best, Stalat. And hopefully we'll see Isabella with you in Philadelphia and Bojena. We're going to be waiting for that day for you to come with your child in a stroller.
Thank you so much. Teresa, thank you so much. Hey, look, you know what? Here's what it means. Not being a mom just means you're smarter than all of us. I mean, just take it for what it is. That's what it is. So, you know, you're smarter than all of us. No, thank you. Thank you so much. And thanks to everyone in the center. The flowers, the bouquet, the note that was sent. My wife really appreciates it very much. We're not surprised. We are not surprised by the outpouring of all the well wishes. We've got a really tight circle. We take pride in our very tight circle of friends and family. So, with much gratitude, Michael, I say it to you and to everyone at the center.
Well, Rich, this is the beginning. 2 weeks. Henry has four kids, so he really has some knowledge. My two kids, I know as time went on how important it is. You have to save, get ready for high school and college and everything else. And then now you'll be looking forward to a great future. And God willing, you will be a great granddad and a great advisor. So, I mean, I'm putting it a little ahead of the game, but I like being a Jaju very much. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to this weekend to spending some time and enjoying some good times with and Marion, and now we have two new people that we have to worry about. We have a little Gabriela Blihashrot, and we have a Isabella Logis that we have to work, you know, to make sure that America changes for the better. So our whole mission is even more important than ever, because Larkin, your children and your grandchildren are here. Mark, your kids are already teenagers. So we have to look toward the future. And these two little girls and many other people that our listeners have brought to our attention are now people we have to be concerned with. And hopefully they will join us to, so that everybody will be guaranteed to inherit just a little slice of the American dream. We don't want people, young people, to be inheriting what the poor leadership has done by putting us in growing debt. We want to be in, you know, have a lot of good future behind us instead of having that $59,800 per man, woman, and child over our head to pay for the poor leadership of the country.
Michael, can I make a point about that?
Sure.
Guys, can I make a point about that? So even beyond this election, although I fear that if we don't get the outcome we need in this election, this question is a lot harder to answer. But is this as good as it gets? Is this the best that we can do? I mean, is this as good as it gets? Is more dependency than we've ever seen as good as it gets? Is our military constantly in harm's way, depleted? Is it as good as it gets? The Truman Doctrine, we've now applied it economically, thinking that economically we've got to go and save a lot of places that for thousands of years have been unable to save themselves. Is that as good as it gets?
Well, Rich, you have to ask the question, is that really what you feel your daughter should be responsible for?
No, because this isn't as good as it gets.
That's right.
That's the thing. And there are two perspectives in the narrative right now, publicly. Of course, the main narrative is driven by the unofficial public relations firm of the Democratic Party called the mainstream media. And their narrative is that America is already great, except for the xenophobia, racism, bigotry, homophobia, Islamophobia, income inequality, and global warming. Other than that, we're doing great. And there's another view, which is, this isn't as good as it could be. This isn't as good as it gets. That's the question for people to ask themselves, where are you? Now, this is why the majority of millionaires and billionaires in America vote Democrat, because they don't really think about that question. They're okay no matter what. They're okay no matter what. Their kids are okay no matter what. Their kids go to private school or extremely affluent public schools. They've got armed guards. They live in gated communities. They're not thinking about it, Michael. They're just not. But for everyone else, we have to ask ourselves. And we've got to think about not just ourselves, but our families if we have a family or if we're thinking about a family. Is this the best we can do? And I refuse to believe. I refuse to believe that it is. And Larkin, I want to say something, because Larkin's mentioned President Reagan a lot on this show, and for good reason. But I want to offer you something, Larkin, that I believe is the greatest contribution that President Reagan gave to the American people. It wasn't that he stepped down in 76 for Ford, to defer to Gerald Ford. It wasn't the landslide victories. It wasn't tear down that wall. Let me tell you what the greatest contribution was. Ronald Reagan understood better than any modern-day president, whether it's Kennedy or Nixon or the Bushes or anyone else you want to talk about. President Reagan understood better than any modern president that we were not immune to the creeping of collectivism. And he warned us. He forewarned against the creeping of collectivism, the drip, drip, drip nature of creeping collectivism. The question, Michael, is this for our listeners. Do our listeners agree and understand that that collectivism is knocking at our door? It is at the doorstep right now. And Larkin, that to me is the greatest contribution that he gave, because he understood better than any modern president how incompatible American values and collectivism are. That's what I think. That's what I think is the greatest contribution that he gave to this country.
I don't think it's the responsibility of any citizen of this country to accept things the way they are. And that becomes the difference maker to me. There are leaders in this country, and there are followers, and it's not a critical criticism. It's not a criticism to tell somebody or to allow somebody to identify themselves as a follower. I mean, if we all tried to lead, it'd be pretty messy. But the people who are qualified to lead, the people who have natural leadership skills, are the people who need to step up to the plate and constantly question the status quo, constantly decide that for our children and all of the children that are attending Clay County schools in Florida and any other school district in this country, that things can and need to get better. We are the most envied country in the world. Probably, safe to say, probably the most envied country in the history of the world. But as Golda Meir said, there's nothing that says that by natural circumstances that the United States of America will remain number one unless they diligently work on being number one.
That's right.
So you can't sit back and let things happen around you. You have to step up to the plate and make a difference. And it comes in the form of running for Congress. It comes in the form of running for president. It comes in the form of running for the school board. It comes in the form of making your environment better at all times through your actions and involvement.
And Larkin, you mentioned, guys, I want to say this point. You mentioned the most enviable place. This next figure I have for you, I promise you I didn't make it up. Do you guys know, and our listeners know, that we admit a legal immigrant every second of every day, 24 hours a day? Every second of every day, a legal immigrant is admitted. By the time this show's over, there will be 3,600 legal immigrants admitted into the United States. We, by far, have the most. We're a generous place.
Well,
legal immigration is not going away. I don't think we want it to go away. So generous and being envied, one of the things about us that we have, see, that's the thing. We've got this. We can actually be in the driver's seat if we choose to drive. The fact is these problems and these issues that we have right now are not unique to societies and civilizations. What our strength has always been is an ability to remedy that. And what I'm saying, in my opinion, I'm speaking only for myself here, is that there are two very, very different views right now that are in the public narrative. But again, most of the narrative is from the Democrats. And those narratives are, everything's great, let's actually do more, you know, transformation, that good stuff. Let's do that. Or, hey, we got a big fire in the kitchen. We need to put that out. And then once we put it out, we got to rebuild the kitchen. That's what's going on right now.
And it's got to change. And hopefully, we're going to see more
real
positive
change, though,
things.
But you see, it's real. But Michael, it has to be actual. It has to be. You know, the great John Wooden, he was pretty good in his day. He was pretty good in his job, you know, as a college basketball coach. And, you know, those coaches, they tend to have these really cool quotes, you know, inspiring quotes. And he had this quote where he said, you can't have progress without change, but not all change is progress.
Mm-hmm.
I think about that quote, and I think, wow.
You know, guys,
pretty true.
Mike and guys, I'd like to say I'm at the Erie County Fair, which, again, 1 million people pass through this gate. So this is day eight. We've been going without sleep for 8 days, and we got two full displays and 1 million people and a lot of middle class. And I talk to hundreds a day, and it's great. A fair is excellent because it shows you where the country is. It allows people to come and say, hi, Rich, hi, Mark, hi, Jackie, to our team. We get feedback. The fair is unbelievable, and it's a big fair. But, you know, talking to people, I talked to a gentleman last night. He stops by, and he loves the Made in America store, and he's at General Welding looking at a plow. And, you know, he's telling me he doesn't like where America is, you know. But then he said his wife has it, you know, is voting differently. And he said, I asked my wife, do you really want that for our grandchildren? Don't you like the America we had ourselves? And you listen to all this, and it's funny. I see more Trump shirts than any Hillary shirt. And you just look and watch, and thousands of people come to the Erie County Fair, second largest county fair in the country. And it's funny. The Made in America is very strong at the fair. We're yet 37% attendance is down, you know, for many reasons, humidity and heat. But it's funny, you get a feel. But people aren't happy, is my point, where America is going.
No, they are not. You're
absolutely. And I'm just listening.
And I can tell you, Mark, from being in the historic district and talking with people, it's exactly the same thing. People are not happy. They want some kind of a major change. They're not happy with the way the election is going. Most of them don't like either of the candidates.
Right.
And it's a very difficult place to see America right now. But before we go to continue this conversation, I want to tell you that I have another person who would like to offer greetings to Daddy Logis. And by the way, this person is a distributor of our flyer. So, Mark, your face, and Larkin, your face, and Rich, your face, and my face is seen by thousands of people each year, because it's Marianne on the phone. She distributes our newspapers and the flyers for American Workers Radio. And I'm going to ask Marianne to give a greeting to the very well-known and new Daddy Logis.
Hi, Rich. Remember me?
I do. Good morning. How you
doing?
Good
morning, sweetheart. I'm a grandmom and a mom. I know what you're going through. My son, when he had his daughter, went to buy a gun. And he was buying boards to nail up the door for when the boys come. However, that all changed. I'm sure she's beautiful. There's no doubt in my mind.
Marianne, thank you so much. You remind me of a kind of joke story I gave in the hospital. Nurse asked me, what are you doing for, Rich, what are you doing for safety? And I said, oh, for safety, I'm going to have a concealed carry 5.7 with 35 in the clip. I'm a really bad shot, so I got to make sure I got enough bullets in there. And the price of ammo keeps going up so much, I can't afford a warning shot anymore. So she laughed, and then she comes back. She said, no, what are you doing for safety at home? I said, oh, for safety at home, I got a 357 Magnum and a doormat that says knock first.
There you go. You're all ready to raise a girl.
And I've got to credit Jim Austin, our listener, for the knock for. I've got to give him credit because he's the one who mentioned that to me one day. So, Jim, thank you for that. And the nurse, you know, I couldn't tell if the nurse was really in agreement or was ready to call social services. I might have broke the record for the quickest social services call in the history of Broward County Bird. Isabella was like 70 minutes old. I thought she was going to pick up the Broward County social services line and say, you better get over here with this parent.
I'll tell you what, Rich, one of my kids pulled that when he was 4 years old. He had a babysitter, and he came home and he says, why do I need a babysitter? All she does is eat our food, watch our TV. I can do that. He had a contract wrote up for me. His sister was twice as bad. So welcome to the land of having a daughter. I don't know if Michael went through it, but I have very intelligent, successful children. My daughter was drop-dead gorgeous, but let me tell you, and now I'm going through it with a granddaughter. I wish you the best.
Thank you, Marianne. Being, you know, speaking of babchas, I've got my mom. So both babchas are coming. My mother's
awesome.
My mother-in-law is coming in a few weeks, and then my mom's coming in October. So I let them all know. I said, you guys don't think you're coming here for vacation, right?
Exactly.
I know we live on the beach, our condo's on the beach, but I said, you don't think you're coming here to hit the beach, right?
By then, Rich, you'll have the schedule down.
2 hours up, 2 hours rest, 2 hours up. You know what I'm saying? You give the formula, you'll have the bopchas, you'll be able to go back to doing what you love to do and assist the bopchas, give them a little direction along the way. But make sure when the bopchas come, you put them to work. It's very important.
Yeah, they're excited. Michael? But Marianne, thank you so much for the well wishes.
Oh, I am so happy that you're finally a parent and it's a girl. I really am. I told Michael I couldn't find your email the other day.
Yeah, well, you know what? Rich is going to send me a couple extra pictures through email, and Mayor, I'll make sure you get a picture.
You better, or you're talking to me for the last time. Tell him, Rich. He knows I don't mess. It's my granddaughter. I don't mess. But congratulations, Rich,
thank you.
And I'll talk to you later.
Thanks for calling in. God bless. Okay. And by the way, talking about social services, oh boy, here with us is another individual who you know, Rich, and that is Peter from the Social Service Agency. And by the way, Peter can tell you there are a lot of wonderful, wonderful people that are hurting these days. And Peter, as a young guy, has the experience of working with them, trying very hard to make sure that they have conveniences, make sure that they have somebody to be in contact with. This is a very changing world that we're living in. And so, Peter, I'll tell you now, thank you for doing a good job. A lot of those senior and seasoned ladies and men tell me that Peter is a great guy to work with. So, Peter.
Hey, Rich. I also want to say congratulations on the newborn.
Thanks, Pete. Yep. Thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Peter is, in fact, Peter was just the godfather over the weekend. You know, Nick, his brother, had a baby girl, and they had her christened on Sunday. So the new baby is Clementine. So all of us have a lot of people to be concerned with in the future. So in behalf of Nick and Peter and all the people from the Social Service Agency, we want to say our best wishes to you, Rich. We're really proud of you. And thanks for all your participation on American Workers Radio.
And well, congrats to Pete also, his godfather. May your first child be a feminine child, in my case. You know, so Michael, you're embarrassing me in a nice way with all of these guests coming on, and or all the, not guests, but so much people we know with the well wishes. Again, I'm not surprised by any of it. Thank you so much.
And these are all people who enjoy listening to us every week, and they have a lot of opinions about what we do. Some of the people in my travels tell me, why are the things that you're discussing not really being discussed in the major media? They're all talking garbage, titsy stuff that means nothing to the well-being of the American people. I mean, it gives you no great pride to have somebody talking garbage when you really need to know what can be done to help us out. How are we going to schedule meetings and conferences on the air to get people united about bringing jobs back to this great country? Last week, Mark and I spoke about a conversation that I had with a well-spoken salesman who worked for a foreign importer for 30 years. And I'll tell you, I felt the conversation with this gentleman who came to historic Philadelphia, it was priceless as far as I'm concerned. All Americans around the country saw that we went through this hell. We watched it, but we didn't want to speak up. We saw that foreign countries were coming over and taking charge of the tens of millions of jobs that we were losing, and nobody said a word. And that's really as a result of the people in government, people that we pay. Now Americans are not prepared for this type of a job loss. So this here is something that I want to talk. Oh, I see here. Wait 1 second. Before we go another minute, I have somebody who would like to come in here and say something to you. He is someone that you've never met, but he's somebody that you spoke to on the radio before, and he would like to offer you a greeting. Adam is somebody who is assisting us in the museum. He welcomes visitors. He gives people tours. He's returning back to Temple in a couple of weeks. And Adam wants to come and give Rich a little greeting. So, Adam, what do you have to say?
Well, Mr. Logis, congratulations on having a child. I can't exactly give any advice since I'm still, you know, a child myself. But I'm sure that you're going to be a great father, and I'm sure that you're going to instill your children with the same values that Mr. Blihash and my father instilled in their children.
And Adam, I have to tell you, he listens in every week. Adam, tell us what you think about the show.
I think it's certainly a show to listen to. It's certainly something that more people should listen to, as opposed to some of these other more liberal networks on the radio.
Oh my God, Adam! Now, Adam, you're 19, right?
That's right.
I think you said
yes.
Did you just say the L word as a 19-year-old?
Yes.
Oh my God. Well, first off, thank you, and let me thank you for something. Since you had come on the show a few months ago, even though we don't really know each other, we haven't met, haven't talked at length. I know enough about you from being on the show to know that you are someone whom your peers, as you know, we talked about on air, perhaps don't always see things, the world, in a certain way that, you know, the old fogies like me do, and that just comes from life experience. So, to me, you're actually an inspiration for our youth, because our youth, as I've said before on this show, I believe that our youth have been failed. I believe our youth have been failed, and they've been indoctrinated to believe that collectivist, utopian states are progress, when in reality they're incompatible with our values. But I can't fault, Adam, you know, your peers for thinking that way, because there's an indoctrination that's occurred. And that's why those who do that have infested our schools and our universities and where our media are. And so the fact that you've been able to see through that at such a young age is, give yourself some credit. You know, give yourself some credit, because that is really impressive.
All right. Thank you.
And thank you for the well wishes also.
All right.
Well, Adam has a lot of things going on, and I want to tell you, for all of you to know, that we have a tremendous amount of those American Workers flyers. So Adam gives everyone who comes into the museum a flyer, so with our mug shots on there from the front page of the site. And so more and more people know us, and we talk about that to the people and get their opinions and hear the things that people have in their minds. They are disappointed in America. They're disappointed in America's leaders, because they see that all of their clothing, their everything around them, their cell phones, is all foreign made. If there was that 50-50 balance that Mark and I always like to promote, if there was a 50-50 balance, America would be a much, much better place. Uh-oh, before we go back to our conversation, I have one more visitor that's here. And it's someone that you know, Mr. Logis. It is John Groch. John Groch, how you doing, guy? Do I hear a phone, Rich?
I think that might have been you guys. John, how you doing?
Okay, Rich. Great to talk to you again.
Yeah, well, nice. Likewise. You guys have, that's a family affair, right? It really is.
Yes, it is. And speaking of family affairs, I'd also like to add my congratulations to your newborn on Isabella's being born. And I hope you're having a lot of fun with her. I have to tell you that I'm a recent grandfather for the first time. And there's nothing more thrilling than to be able to, you know, raise a child of a child. It's my son's daughter, Clementine. We call her Coco. And the advantage that I have, by the way, is that I can drop Coco off at Nick's house. And, for the evening, after taking care of her, my wife and I take care of her a couple of days a week. and we can sleep at night because she doesn't wake us up. So you've got to contend with that. I hope that she's that Isabella is sleeping well for you. I also want to congratulate you on having a truly American-made baby. I don't know if anybody's tried that line on you. I hope you weren't overseas when you know the conception took place. But anyway, maybe that's a little bit TMI stuff. But anyway, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
I wish you a lot of luck. And
thank you so much. And congratulations also, you know, to you and the family. And
thanks.
And Nick. Nick was actually, along with Michael and Henry, Nick was the first person I ever met at the center.
That's right.
Four years ago when I. When I came in, and as I like to say, you know, disgraced the place when I came in 4 years ago. And so those guys have, if not for that wrong turn, that's how I got to the Polish Center. I took a wrong turn. We were going to the Liberty Bell, and I went down Walnut Street and saw the Polish flag, and my wife being from Poland, we said, hey, and there was a sign outside that said pierogi and kielbasa. So I thought, okay, we need to park and go in. And of course, I didn't know that how the parking situation was at the time in Philly. But we parked and came in, and that's where I met. I met Nick. I met Michael, and Henry was there. Teresa was there as well. So that was a wrong turn. That turned out has gone right.
God has blessed us ever since that wrong turn.
That's exactly right. And, you know, when you get lemons, you make lemonade, and you turn things around and make the most of experiences. So we're thrilled to be associated with you and your ideas and your commitment. And, again, I congratulate you and wish you all the best with Isabella.
Thank you. And I got to tell you guys, thank you for that, John. There are so many text messages I got from people writing to me saying, first female president of the United States. And I said, oh, God, I hope so. Oh, God, I hope so. Oh, yeah, and she can do it. She's, you know, my wife was made in Poland. So she was made in Poland. So she came to, when she came here, we met, we got married. And my wife came on a visa. So she came legally, and then we met. And then she, after several years, she today is, now she's a full-time mom, but she had a full-time position with an MBA as an American citizen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so this is the first election she's going to vote for. But I promise her I'm not going to tell anyone for whom she's voting. I'm going to keep that private.
That's the way
she wants that private. And I generally keep it private also.
It should be personal conviction without pressure. That's what America's all about.
Yeah. You know, I told her, and I already said to her, like, listen, if I'm gonna go into the booth with you just to make sure you pull the lever the right way. I just wanna make sure you don't make a mistake. Your first time. Make sure you don't do it. So I said, other than that, I'm okay. You know, I won't bother you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you, I'm a naturalized citizen myself. I was born in England to parents who were both born and raised in Poland. So, you know, I do value what America has provided for me and my family, and I know my parents were devoted to giving the best to their kids, and we're passing it on to ours and our grandchild now. So, again, you know, this is a free country. We can vote. That's a great thing, and many people cannot do that. So it's a privilege that I do treasure.
Very well said, John.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you for the well wishes, John.
Okay.
Wow.
Thank you, Rich. You take care now.
And thank you for all that you do to help us to, you know, John works very closely with many communities. He also helps me, you know, look at some of my commentaries and all, make sure that I am not freaking out the way sometimes I can go wild. But John keeps me in line, so to speak. I have a lot of people who do that to me, but I don't ever like to mention that that's really how the way it has to be. But anyways, thank you for coming in. And I'll tell you, Rich, this was a very interesting show. And it reminds me of the fact of how much commitment we all have to make to changing America around so that our children and our grandchildren do have a brighter America. It's really more important than anything. In the last 2 months, becoming a granddad, I thought to myself, wow, things have really changed. And you're right, Rich. Things are not as good as they were when we were young people. There is just too much negativity around us. There's very little in the way of people going out to enjoy themselves. Everything is over social media, on the cell phones and things like that. And that's why when Mark mentioned about going out to the Erie Fair, I like things like that. I like that face-to-face contact with people and seeing what they have to say and knowing, you know, where they've been and where they are looking to go in the future. And that's what our, that's why people who come to the museum sign up for our mailing lists. When I'll be going to a very large festival for two weekends at Częstochowa, that's Labor Day weekend and the weekend after that, and I pull out a lot of those thousands. It has big amount of people come to it, and during those 5 days I give out thousands and thousands of my flyers too, and I talk to people and I hear firsthand what they are going through, especially the middle-aged and the older people who are able to say, well, I have gone through my whole life never being unemployed. My son or daughter, who is now 22 years old, has a great sheepskin, but for the last 6 months she's been looking for a job. And that's not the way it used to be. I mean, most of the time the people had a counselor in high school or in college. They had better ways of feeling out the job opportunities coming along the way. That is not going on these days. It's everything listed on the net, posted here, posted there, but there's no physical contact. What do you see different about that, Mark?
Yeah, I do too. You know, again, Mike, you bring up the fair. You do a lot of shows, and if you do, I love talking face to face. That's why I went, like Larkin suggested, to a community bank. I think we're losing that in America too. That talk one on one and people taking the time to say hello. We were talking about that at our fair because the fair itself got a little larger. They got a casino, so they're wiping out some of the mom and pop vendors. If it's a vendor that made the sugar waffles and it was there 25 years, they took her out. I love the mom and pops, and I think that's how America was built. These small towns, you go through Pennsylvania, boy, more towns in Pennsylvania than anywhere in small town USA. It's just kind of how it was built. And but talking to people, talking it up, getting their feedback, and really you get, instead of watching the media that can be one way or another, and luck, this week I couldn't. I didn't have the time. We go from, I go for the morning jobs, 7, 8, right till 12 o'clock at night every day, so you don't get a chance to turn the TV on a little bit of when you get home. But it's funny listening, the difference between what you're hearing and seeing compared to what the TV's forcing down your throat, kind of.
Yeah, you know, you're right.
It's
and
true.
Larkin, I'm going to ask you to comment on this statement. You know, what makes things even worse in America right now for all of us who have children and grandchildren, that we lost millions of jobs over the years, and it was as a result of America's elected leaders on both sides of the aisle, Democrats and Republicans. And to make matters worse, they then entered into trade agreements that also drained even more jobs out of our country. So when people say, well, we have to elect this person because they have the most leadership they have, I say, what have these present elected people, these Paul Ryans and Boehners and all these other people, McConnells, what have they done in the last years to make sure that America comes first? Here we are, a broadcast, doing our thing to promote jobs, promote people, promote interaction, get people to go out and support National Small Business Weekend and American Made Month in November. And the politicians are talking garbage. They're spending millions and millions of dollars every day on media across the country to talk against one another, but never to talk in behalf of a prouder, a better, and a more job-filled America. Larkin, tell me what's wrong with that statement.
No, there's not a lot wrong with it. We're terribly misguided in the last 10 or 15 years in this country, and they run it together, political career. There should be no political career in this country. What do you mean career? You serve as a politician, you serve the people, You shouldn't be making $180,000 a year. You shouldn't be the Speaker of the House making $223,000 a year. Then you get unelected as the Speaker of the House. You should go back to $180,000 a year, but not Nancy Pelosi. She still gets the Speaker's wage. So, it's all wrong. It's all wrong. It's very, very weak, and it needs to be addressed. And the sooner the better. That therein lies the reason why, as I retire from one initiative, my next one is probably going to be the Pragmatic Party, and it's going to be the party that invites everybody from libertarians to Republicans to Democrats who learn how to collaborate with each other and get things done. We're going to bring back earmarks. We're going to institute term limits. We're going to get rid of the Chuck Schumers who think that they're going to live their entire life being a senator from the great state of New York. We're going to eliminate Bill and Hillary Clinton types who leave the White House with literally without a penny in the bank. Not 1 cent did that family have. And now, 12 years later, 16, whatever it is, $100 million
was quoted on an ad this morning. So I don't know if that's a fact.
I think her income taxes for last year were $10 million.
Yeah, they're.
That's just all wrong.
You know, we are going to have to continue this good conversation next week, as you can see by the clock on the wall. But, you know, I learned a lot today, and I want to first of all thank all the people that came to give greetings to Rich Loges. And, you know, I'm asking all of our Buy American Made campaign supporters, our listeners, local businesses, community organizations. I want labor leaders, union leaders, all sorts of people in the community, elected officials, in other words, all Americans to support American-made products. This is the time of year where you're going to be going out to buy school supplies. Look at those labels and speak up in behalf of American-made. Well, I hate to tell you, it's that time. I want to thank Rich Loges. Congratulations again, Rich Loges. We'll have to talk more during next week's broadcast. My thanks to Larkin Conley for your endless support of the program. And Mark Andel, I know you're going wild with the fair, but I'm going to depend on you to continue to do many good things to keep America great. Okay, guys, thank you so much. And we'll be sending out a rebroadcast of the show a little later on today. Make sure you email that link to family and friends. Have a good one.
Thanks, everyone.